KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
On Halloween night, a couple of years ago, my husband Ray, who works among the homeless in the greater St. Louis area, came home and said, "Hey, my partner Chris and I almost got arrested for giving out sandwiches to the homeless." You think, after 30 years of giving out sandwiches, nobody would ever question that. But it's been questioned, and today on Encounter, we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan case. That's what attorney David Rowland is calling it. So my guests today are Ray Redlick, Vice President, New Life Evangelistic Center, my husband, and Dave Rowland, who is the Director of Litigation, Freedom Center of Missouri. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Judy.
Thanks so much.
Ray, tell us what happened briefly on that Halloween night.
Well, my coworker Chris and I were riding around in the car looking for places where there might be unhoused or homeless people who might be hungry. So we found an area where there are quite a few gathered along the side of the street, and we pulled over in the car, opened the trunk of the car, and opened up our coolers and started handing out food and water to the people that were out there and talking with them, which we always do. It's not just giving out food, but it's ministry. We converse with the people and try to be a friend and help them. And I noticed that the police arrived, and they were talking to my coworker Chris over at the car. So I went over there and found out that they were concerned about our distribution of the sandwiches. And talking with them, they called for more police. And finally, I think there were at least three different police vehicles there, and they told me that they're going to have to give us both a citation because we should have known better doing that without a permit. And so we waited there while the one officer brought some literature and gave it to us, and they gave us each a ticket. And so we then later contacted the Freedom Center of Missouri, and Dave became involved in our case from that point on.
So, Dave, what did you think when you heard the story that two people who had been giving out sandwiches for years to the homeless were almost arrested and they got a citation for doing that?
Well, I was incredibly frustrated, but I wish I could say that I was surprised. I wasn't. I've been keeping an eye on this particular situation for about the last 15 years. That's about the time that I started my career as a public interest attorney, and I've been hearing about cities taking efforts to prevent people from providing private charity to the homeless. And I believe that providing private charity in this manner is a crucial part of religious practice. You know, for those of us who are Christians, we know that one of the things that Jesus said was going to separate the sheep from the goats on the day of judgment is whether when you saw people in need, you went and tried to meet that need. And so it's very much pressed on my heart to try and ensure that people are allowed to help those that are in need when they see them in these conditions. But St. Louis is just the latest in a string of cities across the country that have tried to make it more difficult or sometimes impossible to provide that kind of assistance to homeless people. So when I heard about Ray's story, I knew that, well, all right, the time has come. We're going to act. We're going to get involved, and we're going to do what we can to try and preserve these fundamental constitutional freedoms.
Give a couple of short examples of other cities that have been going through the same thing.
Sure. So in Philadelphia, about 15 years ago, this is the first story that I heard of, the city decided that you could only provide food to the homeless if you acted through one of three city-approved private charities. And those private charities were only allowed to distribute food at certain pre-selected locations throughout the city. So in other words, they expected the people who were in need to dance to the city's tune. They had to go where the city wanted them, and the city was trying to route them away from the wealthier parts of town and the commercial center of the town. Needless to say, many of the people who were in need, for various reasons, couldn't comply with what the city was demanding, and so they were just kind of left without alternatives. So that was the first situation that I heard of.
Now, what happened in that situation?
Ultimately, the religious people who wanted to help the homeless were able to reach an accommodation with the city where they were able to continue providing assistance. There was a brief court battle that I believe got resolved without a formal decision by the courts. but it did make some news at the time. There was also a case in Washington, D.C., where a church wanted to open its property as a place for homeless people to sleep. And the city tried to say, well, no, you're not allowed to do that. If you're going to open your property in this way, you have to get a hotel permit. And they fought, and they ultimately were successful in their challenge against the city's efforts to prevent them from providing a place for people to come and sleep safely. Then when I was up in Washington State for a little bit of time, about 8 years ago, I heard about two situations, one in Seattle and then one in Olympia, Washington, where I was living. And the cities were trying to prevent religious groups from having communal meals in public settings. In Seattle, they were trying to gather in a park. In Olympia, they were gathering in a public parking lot. And the cities were trying to say, no, you're not allowed to gather here anymore. Any other group, religious or secular, would be allowed to meet in these locations, but they were trying to say, you're not allowed to meet here if your goal is to try and assist homeless people. And fortunately, we were able to successfully push back against the cities in those situations. But once we got here in Missouri, I was frustrated, but again, not surprised to see that the same old story was coming up again with Ray and Chris being told that they were not allowed to provide assistance to homeless people unless they danced to the city's tune.
If you've just joined me, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Ray Redlich, Vice President, New Life Evangelistic Center, is my guest, as well as Attorney David Rowland, who's Director of Litigation, Freedom Center of Missouri. David, how did you get involved in this case where Ray and Chris got a citation? How did you find out about it, and how did you get involved?
I heard about it on Facebook. A couple of friends of mine on Facebook mentioned that Ray and Chris had been cited for feeding the homeless, and I immediately got in touch with those friends, and I said, hey, I really want to be able to help out. Can you help me get in touch with them? And so they got me Ray's contact information, and I was able to call and let them know that the Freedom Center of Missouri was ready to do what we can to try and help them.
What were the next steps?
Well, once Ray let me know that he was interested in pushing back against what the city had done, we went and we were prepared to represent them in the municipal case involving those citations that they were given. But then, strangely enough, when we showed up to court, the city had the cases against them. So basically, they were looking for a path of least resistance. And if the defendants were going to fight back and assert a right to do what they were doing, the city didn't want to have that fight. So after the city dropped the prosecution, we decided we were going to go on offense to make sure that they couldn't do something like this in the future.
So the city just dropped the whole case.
Yeah, so we went to the municipal court on the date and times that was established in the summons. And we were waiting there in the courtroom and waiting and waiting and waiting for them to call our case, and they never did. And so I finally went up and talked to the city attorney that was there and said, hey, I'm here with Ray Redlich and Chris Onimus. We've got these citations. When is it going to be called? And they said, oh, we decided to drop those charges. And, of course, they never notified Ray or Chris.
No.
We would have been standing there, I think, all day if I hadn't decided to go up and specifically ask about it. But it turned out that this was a tactic that they have used over and over again. Ray and Chris are not the first people in St. Louis to be cited feeding the homeless. There were several other situations where people had been given citations. And each situation, if they showed up ready to fight in the municipal court, the city prosecutors would drop it. But again, if the defendant did not show up in court to fight it, then the city would have absolutely gotten a judgment against them.
Interesting.
So whoever was the target of the citation has an obligation to take the time off, to lose whatever wages they might be earning that day, to come down and to face the music in front of the court. But as soon as the city sees that someone has shown up, that's when they drop the case.
They drop the case.
What it turned out to be in many situations was harassment. The city wanted to scare people into complying with what they wanted them to do, but they weren't willing to actually fight it out in court.
So what did you do at the Freedom Center of Missouri after this happened?
That's when we decided to go on offense and to file a lawsuit in federal court. We put together a case that brought several different constitutional claims as well as a couple of state law claims, and we filed that in the federal district court for Eastern Missouri.
And where is it today?
Just about a week and a half ago, the judge in our case decided to reject our constitutional challenges. Now, importantly, she didn't say anything about our state law claims. When you take a case into federal court, they are only obligated to resolve the issues that involve federal law. And because our complaint included a couple of claims that were purely based on state law, she said, I'm not going to rule on those. You can still take those into state court if you want to. But as far as the federal claims, I'm going to rule against you, and here is why. So as of right now, we think that the judge got it wrong for several reasons, but we're considering whether we're going to ask the judge to reconsider that opinion or whether we're going to go directly to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
So the tenants that were federal, what were those?
So our federal claims focused on the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment. The First Amendment protects the free exercise of religion, and it also protects the freedom of expression. Courts have held for a long time that freedom of expression includes not only verbal expressions of ideas, but also expressive acts. So in this case, one of the things that we're arguing is that associating with and sharing meals with the homeless is inherently an expressive act. It conveys an idea to the person who are receiving that food about what God feels for them and how God wants to meet their needs. But it also expresses a message to the broader community about how this is the way that we should be caring for each other. This is what God wants us to do with our lives, is to work to take care of each other's needs. And that's what Ray has been doing for decades now, not only in his acts of going out into the streets and providing food to these people, but also he then follows up those actions with his conversations in the community, telling people that, you know, God wants us to look after each other in this way.
This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich, Ray Redlich, Vice President of New Life Evangelistic Center, and David Rowland, Director of Litigation, Freedom Center of Missouri, are my guests. We're talking about the historic sandwich case. Dave says the Good Samaritan case that happened in St. Louis when people were given citations for giving sandwiches to the homeless. We'll be right back. Check out more of my interviews at judyredlich.com. That's judyredlich.com, or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Friend me on Facebook. Connect with me on LinkedIn.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks a lot for keeping with us today. Dave Rowland is one of my guests. He's the Director of Litigation, Freedom Center of Missouri. Ray Redlich, Vice President, New Life Evangelistic Center. If you just came aboard, we're talking about the citations that Ray Redlich and his partner Chris Onimus got when they were giving out sandwiches to the homeless on Halloween night a couple of years ago. Now, can you consider this? New Life Evangelistic Center has been around for a long time. They started the Ministry of Sandwiches in about 1978 or 1980. And guys and girls have been giving out sandwiches forever since then. And Chris and Ray get a citation, and three police vehicles pulled up to make sure this happened on Halloween night a couple of years ago. Now, how preposterous can that be? So, Dave, before we took a break, you talked about one of the federal amendments that was violated, that you thought the judge made a wrong ruling. What is the other one?
In addition to the freedom of expression that we talked about, there is, of course, the religious liberty aspect of this. Now, one of the things that the Supreme Court said 30 years ago is that when you combine the free exercise of religion with some other constitutional right, you are supposed to get kind of extra special constitutional protection. But courts have not usually enforced that ruling. So one of the things that we were hoping is that because Ray's situation combined this very clear act of worship that's discussed in the New Testament with this expressive conduct, we had hoped that the court was going to afford him this extra special constitutional protection. Unfortunately, She didn't do that. In addition to free exercise and expression claims, we also talked about equal protection of the laws, because one of the things that it turned out is that the city, as this ordinance is written, prohibits anyone from sharing food, any private citizen from sharing food with other people, whether it takes place in public or whether it takes place on private property. But as you know, people all the time have potluck dinners, sure, tailgate parties, and they share food with people who are struggling with illness or tragedies in their lives. It's just a normal part of human experience. The only time the city intervenes and tries to enforce this ordinance is if you're trying to help the homeless. And yeah, so we raised an equal protection claim as well. And we said that the city can't discriminate in its enforcement of this ordinance based on who you're trying to associate with or who you're trying to help. Unfortunately, the judge disagreed with us and ruled against us on all three of these constitutional grounds.
So, David, if you don't fight this, what does that say?
Well, if people don't fight back, then governments like the city of St. Louis are just going to continue to expand their power and limit people's ability to help each other. That's why it was so important to find people like Ray and Chris who are willing to stand up not only for themselves, but for everyone who's got a passion for trying to help those in need. So we had to fight this case. We felt like there was no choice about it, and that's part of the reason why we're going to see it through as far as it needs to go. That means that we take it up to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's fine. That's what we're going to do. If it means that we ask the U.S. Supreme Court ultimately to hear this case, we're going to do that as well, because there have to be individuals like Ray and Chris and groups like the Freedom Center of Missouri that are willing to go out and fight these battles to secure freedoms for the entire population.
Well, and the government should really never interfere with private citizens' ability to give and receive private charity. That is not even their place.
Absolutely not. Another point that we've raised is that it is a quintessential aspect of American culture that we help each other when we are in need. In the 1800s, a man named Alexis de Tocqueville wrote a book called Democracy in America, and he said one of the things that distinguishes American society from European society is that when challenges pop up in European society, the people look to the government for solutions. In the United States, when challenges pop up, we look to each other. We look for private solutions to these challenges, and people being in need, needing shelter, needing clothing, needing food, these needs have always been met on a personal basis by private individuals acting out of compassion for their neighbors. That's what our nation historically has been. That's what it should always be, and the government has no place trying to prevent that from happening.
Ray, how do you feel about the judge saying no?
Well, Judy, of course it was a disappointment. But I'm confident that as we push on with this, that we can make a difference and that things will turn out more positively. I mean, I'm hoping that as we take it perhaps to higher courts, that it will have a wider impact. And that's what we want to see. I'd like to see things changed across the country so that these rights will be established. The courts, the government, and people in general will recognize that this is part of American life, and that Christians will recognize more and more that this is something that God would have us to do as far as helping the needy, sharing with those in need as we encounter them out in the streets.
David, what is Freedom Center of Missouri all about?
The Freedom Center of Missouri is established to preserve individual liberty and constitutional limitations on government. When my wife and I, 11 years ago now, were looking around the state, we thought, you know what? We need an organization in this state that will work full time to try and advocate for individual liberty in the government. And so because it didn't exist at that time, we decided we would create it ourselves. And so the Freedom Center has, for the last 11 years, been working in the fields of free speech, the right to vote, free exercise of religion, government transparency, trying to use all of the constitutional tools at our disposal to protect individual liberty and to ensure government accountability to the people.
How are you supported?
We are supported entirely by donations. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so donations to our work are tax deductible, and that is the way that we do what we do, is generous people agreeing to support our work.
maybe some of our listeners are saying, you know, I was hoping to someday get involved with something like this because freedom rights are so vulnerable and there's so much being quickly taken away. We need entities that'll fight for those rights for us here in Missouri. How can they contribute?
Well, if they go to our website, mofreedom.org, they can learn more about the cases that we're pursuing. If you'd like to make a donation, you can go to mofreedom.org/donate and make a donation. Or if you'd just like to volunteer to help in some way, shoot us an email at info@mofreedom.org and let us know that you'd like to help, and we'll do what we can to find a place for you to support our efforts in a more tangible way as opposed to making a donation.
That's info@mofreedom.org, you can go to mofreedom.org website and learn more about this organization. So where are you planning to go now, and how can people pray for you?
People can pray, number one, that we have judges who are going to be receptive to the arguments that we make. We believe that we very clearly have the correct legal arguments, but sometimes you still need judges whose hearts are going to be softened and open to those arguments in order to prevail. So definitely be praying for whichever judges are ultimately going to hear this case, that they will understand what justice and the Constitution requires of them so that we'll get the correct outcome. Also, people can be praying that we will have the resources that we need to carry this through. Litigation is incredibly expensive and time-consuming, so even if people can't chip in directly to support the work that we're doing financially, if they would pray that we would find those resources, that would be tremendously helpful to our cause.
So the judge said no on a national level to your arguments. How is this representative of the decisions concerning the homeless that are being made around the country? What precedence will this outcome have?
That's a good question, because courts all over the country have been reaching different answers. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals down in Florida had a case dealing with people feeding the homeless in public parks, and they found that the efforts were constitutionally protected free expression. So if the 8th Circuit ends up deciding that no, it's not constitutionally protected free expression, we would have what's called a circuit split. And ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court may need to resolve that dispute, that disagreement between the courts. So that's one way of looking at it, so that potentially a loss in the 8th Circuit is not necessarily a bad thing, because it may lead to the United States Supreme Court hearing the case. So I want people to understand that temporary setbacks in litigation can sometimes set up future successes. So I don't want people to get too concerned if eventually the 8th Circuit goes against us, because we still have some options on the table at that point. But in addition, as you pointed out, the ruling that we got from the district court only applies to our federal constitutional claims. We still have some very strong state law claims. So if in the end of things we do not get the result that we're hoping for on the federal constitutional issues, we will still be able to go back into state court and argue our state claims for why Ray and Chris should be free to continue helping the homeless in the way that they have.
The Good Samaritan case, you've heard about it on Encounter Today, where two men were giving out sandwiches, got a citation on Halloween night for giving out sandwiches. Dave Rowland is director of litigation, Freedom Center of Missouri, who took on this case, and the judge ruled no on some accounts on the federal level. And now they are taking new steps, new directions to find the right answers to get these things solved so people can, again, help people who are homeless. So in summary, they're fighting to ensure freedom to assist others without governmental interference. That's what it's all about, this Good Samaritan case. How can they find out more?
Go to mofreedom.org, or you can look us up on Facebook as the Freedom Center of Missouri.
You know, it's so frustrating when you hear of these cases losing in the courts. Do you have any good news for us legally?
I do. Let me tell you, the U.S. Supreme Court seems to be pointing in the right direction now, especially on the issue of religious liberty. That issue has been treated like the redheaded stepchild of constitutional rights for the last 30 years, but the Supreme Court that we currently have is really turning it around. There was a case this last year that a friend of mine from college argued, and it looks like the Supreme Court is ready to reinvigorate protections for religious liberty. That's something that we should all be optimistic about, and we hope that this case is going to end up as part of the ultimate solution on this issue.
And Ray, how do you feel? Do you feel hopeful?
Well, yes, Judy, I do. I know there's a lot of people praying for us, and I know that this interview, as people hear it, will be enlisting people in prayer and giving and involvement. That's what we need at this time.
I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Thank you both for joining me, and we will keep you apprised as new things develop on this Good Samaritan sandwich citation case. Ray Redlick has been my guest, Vice President, New Life Evangelistic Center. Dave Rowland, Director of Litigation, Freedom Center of Missouri, has also been my guest. I'm Judy Redlick. Thanks for tuning in to Encounter today.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.